Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.randallgreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
Utterance from that realm, from that place. Lord, I thank you. As I speak, I will speak as the oracles of God. Administer with the ability only which you can give. Father, we know and understand it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of your Spirit, your power, and your anointing. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I ask you for your grace to be upon me, be upon these people, be upon this service. And I thank you, Lord, this church is established in the grace and the calling of God that you've called them to, and that not one jot nor tittle shall fail till all shall come to pass. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're in the time of the outpouring of the Spirit of God like we've never seen or known, and that we'll experience it in the fullness in our life. And Father, I give you the glory, honor, and praise for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord is with us. And he's with guiding us and directing our path. Does anybody recall what we were talking about last night? That was one part of it. What was the title of the message? What? Three things? What? What is it? What is it? Anybody know? Three things every person must know to live in the glory of God. Three things that every person, when we talk about the glory of God, we talk about living in success, fullness of God. Of course, we first thing that we said in the first point that we made, and I'd encourage you, if you weren't able to be here in some of the other services for some kind of strange and unique and unusual excuse, or just be sure to get the CDs from the services, because it'll be a blessing to your life. You know, the reason I travel, number one, is because the Lord told me to. I just didn't wake up one morning and get a box of Kellogg's cereal or a box of Cracker Jacks, and all of a sudden the prize fell out and it said, go travel. I was on my knees praying in Bibb City, Georgia, which was at that time a suburb city of Columbus, Georgia. Now it's been annexed by Columbus because it went broke and busted, so Columbus took it over. I was living in one of the oldest houses in Columbus, Georgia, built before the time of insulation. I just graduated from Rhema, moved from a place called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. So I was broke, moving from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I was working carpentry work and had my own little business, home repair kind of. And I had jobs that was going on, and I was doing my job because I had to support my family. And I was helping in our local church and helping my dad-in-law. But as I would drive to church, one of some of the jobs that I'd drive to work, some of the jobs I had was over 100 miles one way. And I'd drive over sometimes 250 to 300 miles every day, getting up way before daylight and getting in way after dark each evening. But as I'd drive along this old truck that I had, old 74 Ford pickup truck, it was the ugliest thing you'd ever want to see. It cost $400. A guy had it for sale, and I seen it sitting outside the road. And I needed a work truck, and it was ugly. They used it. They threw beer parties and drunk parties in it, you know. And they had welded a big old iron pipe about 12 inches in diameter, had taken the front bumper off and welded this pipe. And their goal was, when they got drunk enough, was see how many trees I could knock down with that truck. But it's flat going down through the woods with it. So you could imagine how ugly it was and beat up it was. But it was only $400. Well, me being mechanical, I grew up in a mechanical family. I went over and checked it out from stem to stern. Besides it being ugly, and that was the basic thing wrong with it, the transmission was in great shape. The engine was in great shape, but I didn't have $400. So I went to my mother, and I said, Mother, I said, can I borrow $400? I just graduated from Rhema. I said, I need a work truck. I got some jobs, but I got to haul material, and I can't do it in my car. She said, yes, son, I'll give you the money. So I went and bought the truck, and I remember I come driving up filled with pride in her yard in that thing. And she said, I hope that is not what you bought with that $400 I gave you. I said, Mother, what could, even in 1987, you know, what can you buy for $400? And I said, Mother, what do you think I can get for $400? So I got me a sledgehammer, and I got me a block of wood. You know, I'm a body repair man, ugly but strong when I get through. That'd be the only, and I took, knocked the dents out of it best as I could, you know, and then I got went down to the shed Daddy had down there, and I got me a roller and a paintbrush because it was an ugly truck. And I painted this thing white. I mean, I rolled it on there and everything like that. Didn't have a spray gun. I didn't have any. We're poor folks, you know. I come up that way, but I rolled this thing up and painted it with a paintbrush. We painted many cars with a paintbrush in my day. I don't know. I only drag a few brush marks through it, so what was it? But I come from that. I just come from a lifestyle. We didn't have nothing, you know. And I painted this truck, and it looked so good, my mama even come out. And she's highfalutin, my mama, you know. So she even come out and made a comment. Well, you sure made that truck look good. Well, about 4 days later, it was the ugliest thing you'd ever want to see because all the rust underneath bleeded through the white paint. And so I don't know if it was just rust color or what, but I was driving this truck back and forth. I'm talking about how I got to preaching. I'm driving this truck back and forth working. And I'd get to squalling driving this truck because I knew the Spirit of God wanted me to do something. I just didn't know what. I knew I was supposed to do it. And so one day I decided it was raining outside. The jobs and work I had to do was on the outside, and I couldn't do them because your lumber get wet and all that stuff. I wasn't scared of the rain. I worked in pouring down rain. It didn't bother me dig ditches in it. Woo! Come on. Yeah, plow a mule in it. Anybody know how to run a mule? Run a plow. Slip pin. Yeah, I could run all that kind of stuff. Maybe we ought to get back to some of those days. But anyway, I decided to go stay home and pray, and I prayed. And while I was praying, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself spoke to me by the Holy Ghost and said, I want you to leave what you're doing now, leave this behind. And of course, He showed me how to do it and the way to do it. And you can't do it unless the Lord speaks to you to do it. You can't do it because I've done it. For instance, Kenneth Copeland came to Ramah years ago and talked about how he gave away his old junk mobile car, you know, and faith mobile he was driving around, and God gave him a brand new car. Well, some of the Ramah students heard about it and decided they was going to give their car away, and they did, and they walked for the rest of the year. You cannot act on another person's revelation. You've got to have your own revelation. You've got to have your own word. And so I got on my knees and prayed. The Lord spoke to me and told me to go out in the traveling ministry and go start telling what people had done in my life. And that's how I started. And I said, Lord, how am I going to do it? Because I really started squalling. How am I going to go? Nobody knows who I am. I'm in Bibb City, Georgia. The least likely suspect on the planet to travel and go. He said, just as clear, he said, Brother Hagin's going to help you. And you know what? It happened just like the Lord said. Within 30 days, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin had written me a letter and shared some things with me and some things that would happen. And then from then on, I mean, it just started there. And it wasn't instantaneous success overnight, I'll guarantee you. There was a lot of rough places. In fact, I left this company that I had. I was making the most legal money I'd ever made in my life. I was, legal money I'd ever made in my life. I was making it. It was all legal, above board and everything. And the Lord said, go and step out. In fact, He reconfirmed that December the 31st, 1987. Says, what's this got to do with what you're teaching on? You got to pattern your life after God. And what was we talking about under that? A was to be learned, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let God lead you. When you learn to be led by Him, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, look at that scripture there. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and we'll just tie right back into where we were at. You know, Dad Hagin used to say his sermons were like, boxcars or like trains. You know, he just never did get through with them. He just unhooked and go on, you know. But in Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Isn't that what it says? So our goal, if we're going to have the glory of God and be in the place where God's glory and God's anointing and God's success is at, then we must, of a necessity, we must learn to be led of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you in ways that your head don't understand, but He knows that's where you need to go in order to live successfully in your life. And so the Lord showed me that, and then Brother Hagin done that, began to help me in our ministry, but it wasn't instantaneous success. In fact, I'll tell you the truth about it. Sometimes I wondered if Brother Hagin's recommendation about me many times wouldn't occur to me. Not Brother Hagin now. Not Kenneth Hagin. But because jealousy arose among the ministers. And ministers didn't want to have me because they thought I thought that I was the big head and hot shot because I had favor with Dad Hagin, and I didn't. I felt lower down than a snake's belly in the wagon's rut. Now that's low. That's good country talk for city folks. I had insecurity. I had inferiority. I thought that I was the least likely suspect. Who am I? What can I share with anybody? But somehow the devil tries to reverse those things. And a while, Brother Hagin's recommendations and other ministers' recommendations actually hindered me being able to go out and preach because people didn't want to have me because they thought that I thought, which I didn't think, but they never asked me. Said, how do you know? Because I got reports from ministers later. Said, you're not at all like I thought you were.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.